As you study his life and you watch his life and you read about his life, one of the things that you notice is that Jesus formed two habits worth imitating. Now, there were many habits worth imitating in Jesus' life, but there were two primary habits when it comes to us growing spiritually. And those two habits were prayer and reading God's Word. Those habits were paramount in Jesus' his model for us. And if you and I desire to be like Jesus, if we want to hear from God and be able to talk to God, we have to develop those two habits as well. The habits of listening to God through studying His Word, and the habits of talking to God through prayer. And so this morning, we're going to continue our series called Like Jesus, the model who He's called us to be. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at six foundational life principles of Jesus' life. Six things, six foundational priorities that He lived by. The first one was the fact that Jesus was dependent upon the Holy Spirit. The second one was that He lived a life of fervent prayer. The third is that the central part of Jesus' life was the Word of God. Next week, we're going to talk about obedience to the Father's agenda, the Father's plan. Jesus, another principle, was exalting the Father, glorifying God in everything that He did. And then finally, at the end of this series, we're going to look at the way Jesus dealt with relationships. And He was incredibly intentional with the way that He lived out relationships with others. And so those priorities, those things are the things we've been looking at. And today, we're going to be diving into the third one, the centrality of the Word of God in Jesus' life. You see, one thing that we recognize and notice in Jesus' life is that God's Word, the Scriptures, were central to how He lived His life. And just like we did last week, today, at the end of the day, this is going to be a very practical message. And at the end of the day, here's what I hope, my prayer this week has been, that at the end of this message, at the end of the day, you guys will be able to walk out of here with a plan. And walk out of here with an idea of how you can understand Scripture better. And how you can spend daily time, regular, intentional time reading God's Word. That's our goal for today. Before we dive into it, I want to ask you a question. What is the primary thing that provides for our physical strength and health? If you think about it, just think about it, just you can call it out. What is the main thing? If you follow this, if you do this, then you're going to have a better chance of being healthy physically and mentally and everything else. So what? Exercise, consistency. What was this over here? Eating right. Water. Eating right is one of the main things that you and I can do. Now, all those things are helpful. I mean, obviously, it's good to drink water. You have to drink water. It's great to exercise. But you can exercise all you want and still put junk into your body, and your body's still going to break down. Eating healthy is one of the greatest things that we can do. Why? Because what we take into our bodies eventually, what we take into our bodies internally eventually shows up externally. And so here's the reality. When you have a healthy diet, it creates weight loss. It reduces cancer risk. It reduces the possibilities of heart disease, stroke. It puts you in a better mood. It improves your memory. All those things happen when you and I have a healthy diet. And the Bible is to our spirit what food is to our body. The Bible is to our spirit, into our soul, what food is to our bodies. If you and I do not regularly, and I would dare say daily, take in God's Word into our mind, into our heart, into our soul, we will starve spiritually. See, there are far too many malnourished Christians in our world today. Far too many that the only time they actually crack open their Bible is on Sunday mornings. In fact, listen to this. Just read research this week. That those who profess to be followers of Jesus, not just church attenders, but followers of Jesus, 32%, only 1/3 of us in this room have opened our Bible this week. That's frightening, isn't it? To think that we want to follow Jesus, who's given us the Bible as our direction to follow. And so one third of professing Christians say that they open their Bible on a daily, regular basis outside of Sunday mornings. It's no wonder. It is no wonder that our spiritual lives lack power and consistency. It's no wonder people outside say, right, what does your faith have to do? I mean, it seems boring. Seems like there's lacking so much. I don't want any part of that. Why? Because we haven't been feeding ourselves properly. We haven't been looking at God's Word. And see, here's the reality. Being a disciple of Jesus means that you and I are conformed to the image of Jesus. So it seems obvious that if we are going to walk like Jesus, if we are going to be like Jesus, then we must take in and engage deeply and consistently with God's Word. The only way we'll be conformed to His image is by digging deep and consistently into His Word. Let me put it this way. I wrote this in my notes. The more we study and apply the Bible, the more we get to know God personally. The more you get to know God personally, the more you love God. The more you love God, the more you desire to obey Him, and the more you obey Him, the more you become like Him. Let me say that again for you. The more we study and apply the Bible, the more we get to know God personally. The more we get to know God personally, the more we love Him. The more we love Him, the more we desire to obey Him, and the more we obey Him, the more we become like Him. That, my friends, is the essence of discipleship. Digging into God's Word, talking to God through prayer, becoming more and more like Him. Now, there was an episode in Jesus' life that shows why you and I need consistent time in God's Word. There's a time in His life that He shows us, and there's multiple times, but there's this one particular instance where it just reveals how important it is. How incredibly important it is for us to spend time daily in God's Word. And this incident occurred immediately after Jesus' baptism. So at the very beginning of His ministry, right before He goes on His 3-year ministry, immediately after He's baptized, He's led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit directs Him into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, Jesus faced one of the most grueling seasons of temptation anyone could ever imagine. For 40 days, He's in the wilderness being tempted over and over and over again by Satan. And each time Jesus is tempted, Scripture records that He quotes Scripture to overcome that temptation. But the one I want to focus on is the first temptation. We're not going to look at all three, but three times He's tempted. But the first temptation I want to look at is recorded by Matthew in his gospel. And he says in chapter 4, he says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread.' But Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Now, here's what I want you to understand. In each of these temptations, Jesus quotes Scripture in order to overcome the temptation that He was facing. And the Scripture that He quotes is in this passage in Matthew chapter 4 is Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And here's what He says. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, here's what God says through Moses. In chapter 8, verse 3, it'll be on the screen. He says, speaking of God, "He humbled you and let you hunger, and He fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might take you, He might make you know that" what? "Man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So, here's what I want you to see. The story behind this verse is that God had sent Moses to help deliver the Israelites out of bondage, out of slavery in Egypt. And God sent Moses to lead them, and Moses leads them out of Egypt towards the promised land. He's leading them toward the promised land, but the Israelites fled Egypt, and they're in the desert with no food and no water. So they were required to entirely, completely, and solely depend upon God for their daily provisions for survival. And in this moment, there's a time where the people of Israel begin to complain to Moses. They're out in the desert and they're looking around. They don't see McDonald's to go into, and there's no food. Like, they're like, God sent you, Moses, to bring us out here so we'll starve to death? Is that why we're out here? And they're looking around, absolutely no food. So God reveals how he's going to provide for them. Exodus chapter 16 says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I might test them whether they will walk in my law or not.'" In verse 5, "On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, they will bring in twice as much as they gather daily." Really what he's saying is that we still want you to rest on the seventh day, that Sabbath rest. But so on the sixth day, you can gather twice. So here's what happens. The very next day in this story, God delivers. The very next day, God sends manna, this food for all the people, and he feeds every single one of them through this bread-like flaky substance that we call manna. But there's two principles I want you to notice in this, and we're going to tie it back into Jesus' temptation in just a moment and what he said. But two principles I want you to notice. First of all, is that the people were required to get their own bread. God says you physically have to go out and gather your food. So every man, woman, and child had to go out and gather their own food. They couldn't rely on Moses just to bring the food to them. They didn't rely on anything. They had to actually physically go out every single day and gather their own food. The second principle is this. The manna was only good for one day. They had to gather their manna every single day. It was only good. The bread gathered was only good for one day. Manna had a short shelf life. It lasted 24 hours. But as you can imagine, the people of Israel wanted to test it and see. So there's a time where they did. They tested, they gathered more than what they needed for the day, put it in storage, you put it in containers, and the next morning they wake up, and it's got a foul odor that stinks up the entire place, and it produced worms. Yeah. And so you can imagine this is how disgusting this would have been. And so God was testing them. He was asking them, showing them, like, are you going to follow me? Are you going to listen to me? Now let's get back to to Jesus and his temptation. Think about this. In the hour of Jesus' temptation, in the hour when he is tempted the most, he connects the bread that God sent, that manna, to the Word of God. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by the Word that comes out of the mouth of God. Now, there's a few key points in this lesson that Jesus is teaching us. And the first is this. As spiritual beings, you and I need more than just physical bread. As spiritual beings, we need spiritual nourishment. We need spiritual bread. And that spiritual bread is the Word of God. That's what Scripture teaches us. And God's Word, His Word to us, was what the manna was to the ancient Jews. It provides life-sustaining nourishment. Provides nourishment for our spirits. And just as the Jews had to make time each and every day to gather manna, we must set aside time each and every day to be spiritually nourished by the Word of God. Otherwise, we're going to starve spiritually. And just as the Jews had to gather manna daily, we must read the Bible every single day. Because what you read today will not be sufficient for tomorrow. That's what he's teaching us in this principle. And throughout the Bible, it talks about the fact that Scripture, God's Word, supplies everything we need for spiritual nourishment. Here Jesus refers to it as bread. There are other times where Peter refers to it as milk, where Paul refers to it as meat, where the psalmist refers to it as honey. Now think about this. God's Word is talked about as being bread, milk, and meat. Every single thing you and I need for spiritual nourishment. And he doesn't describe it as broccoli and zucchini, things we don't want to have to eat. It's bread, it's meat, it's milk, it's things we like. It's not things we have to force down. He even describes it. What does he say? It is sweet like honey and delightful to our taste. Yeah, like tomatoes. Ugh. It'd be terrible. It's not biblical, but I think that's what you have to eat in hell. But that's just, I read that once. I'm not sure. But anyway, God's Word is the spiritual nourishment that we need. And it's not something we force down. It's something He provides for us. As a matter of fact, Hebrews 4 says that God's Word is living and active. But here's the problem. Far too many Christians and far too many of us in the church don't see God's Word as living and active. We see it as old and confusing. We sat down and tried to read the Word of God and you get bored and you're like, I don't understand it. I can't grasp it. Anybody ever been there? I know I have. What is this idea of having a quiet time? I mean, I've heard people talk about having a quiet time, but that just doesn't make sense. I sit down and the only thing I begin to do is think about all my to-do lists for the day. Or all I begin to do is my mind begins to wander, and then they start talking about who begot who and who did what, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't understand it. Anybody? I know I've been there. But the reality is, listen to this, the reality is daily time with God is absolutely necessary for our spiritual growth. It's absolutely necessary. And can you imagine just coming and eating one meal a week? But that's what so many of us do that call ourselves Christians. We come on Sunday and we eat one meal a week. And you expect me to feed it to you. But having daily time in God's Word is absolutely necessary for our spiritual growth. It must be a priority in our lives if we're going to follow Jesus. If we're going to be like Jesus, it must be a priority. But the problem is that oftentimes, I know in my own life, my quiet time and time in the Word can seem boring or seem mundane and feel like I'm not really getting anything out of it. Like oftentimes my time in the Word can be reduced to checking boxes off of a reading plan as opposed to hearing from God. Like I start freaking out if I don't get to check the box because I didn't get to read the chapter as opposed to freaking out because I hadn't heard God speak to me yet. And if we're not careful, that's what our quiet time, that's what our time with God will turn into. And some of you are here today and you're like, I don't even know where to begin. Like I hear people talk about it, and Eric, I even hear you talk about it now, but like just the thought of picking up the Bible and starting to read it, I don't understand. I can't grasp where to begin. And part of it is we need to create an atmosphere in our lives, an atmosphere where we can hear from God and listen for ways to apply His truth to our lives every single day. And so over the next few minutes, I want to talk very practically about how you and I can create that type of atmosphere where we can hear from God. I want to talk very practically about ways that we can begin to read the Bible for understanding and read the Bible so that we can grasp it. And so I just want to walk through a few principles. The first one is, if you take notes, first of all, choose a time that works. Choose a time that works. And some of you go, well, Eric, should I be in the morning or should it be in the evening? Where should I do it? Should I do it at lunch? Should I do it in the morning when I first wake up? Should I do it at night? Listen, here's a great big theological answer. It doesn't matter. Literally, it does not matter. God has given us an open invitation to come before Him at any moment, in any day, at any time. And He says, I want you to come boldly and confidently before me. Why? Because I am your Father and I welcome you with open arms. So listen, you find the time that works best for you. If it's morning, then do it in the morning. If it's in the evening, do it in the evening. For me personally, I prefer the mornings. I'm the first one up in my family. And so I like to get up early in the morning and I like to spend time in God's Word before everybody starts waking up and everybody starts demanding things. But some of you, listen, I know some of you have younger kids. The morning is the last time you need to do it. Why? Because it's insane in your house in the morning. You're trying to get breakfasts and lunches and people out the door to catch the bus, and life is just nuts in the morning. So don't try to do it in the morning. Do it in the evening, right before bed. End your day reflecting on your day and reading God's Word and allowing it to speak to you for the next day. But here's the reality, and then the point is simple. It doesn't matter when, and it doesn't matter what time of day, but what you need to do is pick the time that is best for you. Pick the time that's best for you and set it apart for the Lord. That's the first principle, is just choose a time that works. The second principle is this: pick a place to be alone. Some of you are going, yeah, I wish. But pick a place to be alone. I know friends that their only time alone is when they pull into the parking lot at work. And so literally they would get to work 15, 20, 30 minutes early and have their time with God and God's Word in the parking lot at work. Why? Because they're alone during that time. Every time, all the other times of their day, they're surrounded by people, whether it's kids or spouses or co-workers. But in that moment, they're alone. So here's where, just pick a time where you can be alone, free from distractions, which is going to require you to silence your phone or turn it off or leave it in another room. But why? You need a place where you can create this atmosphere where you can hear from God. And it's incredibly hard to hear from God when you're being notified of what somebody's doing on Facebook. But you want to create that atmosphere. And you're going to say, well, Eric, I've tried this. But every time I start to read, I get distracted about all the things that I have going on in the day. Here's just a simple thing that I do. Because I do the same thing. I mean, I start reading and I've done everything I need to do. I've left my phone in the bedroom. I'm downstairs in the office. I'm having my quiet time. And sure enough, as soon as I do, I begin to think of 182 things I'm supposed to do that week. So I just keep a little notebook beside me. And as soon as I have that thought, I just write it in the notebook and then get back to studying God's Word. Next thought comes up, I just write it in the notebook and get back to studying God's Word. Because you are going to be distracted, I can guarantee you. Because why? Because the enemy wants nothing from you in studying God's Word. He wants to distract you in every possible way. And you're going to remember things that you haven't thought about in years. And you're going to be like, man, I should have done that. So create this place where you can be alone and actually hear from God. And take it, notepad, sticky notes, whatever it is that works for you. I just encourage you not to use your phone to do it, because you're going to be distracted if you use your phone. Because you're going to say, oh, let me write that in my to-do list. And then next thing you know, you're 20 minutes watching Instagram or TikTok videos. And you're going, oh my gosh, I had no idea. And so next thing I want to talk about. So we choose a time, choose a place, and then decide on which Bible you're going to use. You're going like, what do you mean, Eric? Well, as you can imagine, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but there are tons of different translations of the Bible, tons of different scriptures, Bibles out there. And some of you are going, well, I don't know which one to choose. Which one should I pick? And I just want to, just for a few moments, talk a little bit about all the different translations that are available, because they really boil down to two approaches to translating the Bible. There's two approaches. There's a word-for-word translation, and there's a thought-for-thought translation. That can get more complicated than that. We can use a lot of big theological words, but that's basically what it boils down to. Word-for-word translations and thought-for-thought translations. And so thought-for-thought translations are just this. They take the original text, the Hebrew, the Greek. And what they do is they express the entire thought or concept in that passage. Okay? Does that make sense? So they take the, they read the sentence, they read the passage, and they say, here's the thought that is being expressed in the Scripture. So if you use a New International Version or a New Living Translation, if those are the translations you use, those are thought for thought, concept for concept translations of the Bible. They tend to be easier to read. So if you're thinking, man, every time I open the Bible and I don't understand the these and the thous and the those things, then listen, those are very difficult to read. Pick a thought for thought, get an NIV, get an NLT, and begin to read that the word. And then there's word for word translations. So there's thought for thought, word for word translations is just that. It's the process of literally taking the original language, the Greek and the Hebrew, and translating it word for word into modern language. So the Bible that I use is an ESV, English Standard Version. That's what I preach out of on Sunday mornings. That's a word for word translation. Some of you may have heard of the Holman Christian Standard Bible. That's a word for word translation. The King James Version is a word for word translation. Now, if you want something hard to read, go get that one. And the New King James is also a word-for-word translation. Now, the ESV and the English Standard Version and the Holman Christian Standard Version are newer, and so they're a little bit easier to read. And so if that's what you can use it. But then there's actually a third grouping, and that is a paraphrase. And a paraphrase is what they've done is it's the author of that book has expressed the Scripture in his own words. So a couple of paraphrases. The Living Bible, ever heard of the Living Bible? That's a paraphrase of Scripture. Ever heard of the Message Bible? That's Eugene Patterson's paraphrase of the Bible. Now, paraphrases can be incredibly helpful and even inspirational, but I don't recommend you using them for your daily time in God's Word. Why? Because you want to be able to hear what God is saying, not the interpretation of someone else. I personally prefer word for word, but here's the reality. It doesn't matter which one you choose. Here's what I would encourage you to do. Choose the one that you'll use. Right? Choose the translation that you'll use, whether it's NIV, NLT, whichever one that you will actually sit down and read, pick that one and study that one. And read that one. I told you today was going to be incredibly practical. And so the next few minutes, here's what I want to do. I want to walk through how I personally create an atmosphere in my own life to hear from God. I just want to give you here's how I do it. I'm not saying you have to do it this way, but I'm just going to walk through how I personally, in my own life, over the last however how many years, how I approach God's Word each and every morning. And so hopefully this will be beneficial to you and help you understand. But I want us to create this atmosphere where you too can hear from God. Because I believe God wants to speak to every single one of us. I believe that He wants to talk to you, and you're going, "Oh, Eric, I've tried it before, I don't understand." Well, because here's the reality. You will quickly stop reading your Bible if you're not intentional about listening to God and looking for ways to apply God's Word. You'll give up, you'll quit. And there are tons of different Bible study methods out there. I'm just going to share mine. I'm not saying you have to adopt it. I'm not saying it's for everyone. I'm just saying it's what has helped me over the years grow closer to God and to apply His Word to my life. Because regardless of what method you use, regardless of how you personally study the Bible, there is only one purpose for reading your Bible each day. And that purpose is life transformation. It's not so that you can gain Bible knowledge and win the Bible drill. It's not so that you can know stories that you can share at work. No, the only purpose for studying God's Word is to transform us, to change our lives. We study to understand and respond to God's Word. That's the reason we do it. If we're not going to do what it says, listen, if you're here this morning and say, "Yeah, I'm going to read the Bible, I'm not going to do what it says," here's my encouragement. Don't waste your time. Like, binge watch something on Netflix. Don't get up in the morning and have a quiet time. Just watch another show on Netflix. Because The reality is, if you are not going to apply God's word to your life, you're only deceiving yourself. And I want to protect you from deceiving yourself. You're going, Eric, well, that's harsh. Those aren't my words. James, in his letter to the church, said, listen, if you're not going to be a doer of the word, you are deceiving yourself. See, the goal of studying God's word is not so that you can go and win a Bible drill. Because I know far too many Christians that have won Bible drills over the year, and they have all the Bible knowledge you could ever imagine, but yet they hate their neighbor. Think about it. You guys know them too. And you try to avoid them just like I do. I'm just being honest. But we know so many people that they can quote verse after verse after verse, and yet they don't live it out at all. You just watch their Facebook feed and it's venomous. You watch their lives and it's toxic, and you're going, how can you know that much scripture and yet be such a miserable person? It's because they've deceived themselves. That's what James is talking about in James chapter 1, verse 22. If you're not a doer of the word, if you're a hearer only, you have deceived yourself. So this method I've been using is a method I've used long before I learned this acronym, but there is an acronym that I want to share with you to help you create an atmosphere to hear from God. And the acronym comes from Replicate Ministries. Done a great job of just putting it in a language that we can all understand and all grasp. But it's the method that I've been practicing for many, many years, long before I learned this method. But here it is. It's the acronym HEAR, H-E-A-R, stands for this: highlight, explain, apply, respond. Say that with me. Highlight, explain, apply, respond. I wanted to give you, like I told you this morning, this is going to be a very practical message. These four steps, highlight, explain, apply, and respond, can help you and I create an atmosphere to hear from God. How many of you would like to hear from God on a regular basis? These steps have helped me over the years be able to hear from God, allow Him to speak to me. Now, I want to give you a caution real first before we dig into kind of the application of this. I think it's incredibly important for you to have an effective reading plan before you start reading God's Word. In other words, I don't want you just to open it up and say, I'm going to read that passage. Not a great way. Is doing that way of Bible study is sorry, Brooke. It's not doing that way. Picking random scriptures will not provide solid biblical growth any more than eating random foods from your pantry will provide solid physical growth. What happens if you land on the verse that Jesus wept? You're like, how do I apply that? I guess I'm going to be a hot mess express all day. Mascara is going to run. It's going to be a rough day. Or what if you run across Ecclesiastes and it says, a feast is made for laughter, wine makes life merry, and money is the answer for everything. I mean, you may be the life of the party. We may all want to come visit you. But that's what can happen if you randomly pick verses without the context and understanding. It can really mess up. So, but here's a couple, just a few more things before we dive into it. I found a lot of reading plans ask too much and require too much. And when I've tried to do a reading plan in reading through Scripture that has asked me to read 5-6 chapters a day, it's too much, because here's what happens. It reduces my time with God to a system of checking boxes. And that's not the purpose of reading God's Word, is to check boxes. Because I, being a type A personality, I am going to check those boxes no matter what. Even if God doesn't speak to me, I am checking those boxes. So here's what I recommend. I recommend 1-2 chapters a day, 5 days a week. 1-2 chapters, that's all. 1-2 chapters a day, 5 days a week. Why, Eric? Why 5 days a week? I think there's always something that stands out to me throughout the week that I want to reflect on the weekend. Or life happens throughout the week, and you can catch up on the weekend. I'm not creating this as a legalistic thing. Listen, if you're hearing this as legalism, I don't want you to hear that at all. That's why I try to build flexibility in there. I never want studying Scripture to be something that we do out of religious duty. But I want us to be something that we do in order to delight in the Lord. So 1 to 2 chapters a day, 5 days a week. How many of you have the Bible app? How many have it with you right now? Pull it out of your pockets. This is the one time I'm going to tell you to get your phones out. Open up the Bible app and go to events. And if you don't know where events, it's on the right-hand side at the bottom on the iPhone. There's 3 little lines. Do I? Oh, on the menu. Open up the menu on the Bible app. And in there, if you look up events, you will find 2 events for Freedom Bible Church. Possibly 3. Huh? Oh, more. Not okay, Nicole needs to wear glasses. It says more, not menu. Anybody found it? Okay. Click on those events. There's one that says Bible reading plan. This is just a sample reading plan. I picked it for you. You can jump into it if you want to. But over the next, it's just an opportunity to dig into the New Testament. Oh, you may have to type in Freedom Bible Church into the search if you don't have locations on. But if you have locations, it'll pop up and populate. I'm also going to send a link to this in our email that'll go out tomorrow that'll link directly to this Bible plan. Now, I'm not saying this is the one you have to use. I'm just saying this is a great model, and also it lays out what here means. Highlight, explain, apply, and respond. I'm trying to give incredibly practical things. Did y'all find it? All right. Now, there's another live event, and that is Hearing from God, and that has all the notes from today's message. And so you can find that, and you can save those if you want to go and refer to them later. It gives you this exact model that we're going to walk through. And I wanted, again, make this incredibly practical and something you can actually walk out of here today with a plan. Because if we're not going to be doers of the Word, what are we doing? Deceiving ourselves. That's right. Now, before you dive into Scripture, before I read Scripture, here's what I encourage you to do. And that is this. Pause and ask God to speak to you. Like, I can't tell you how many times I've opened God's Word and just started reading. Like, God, why didn't you speak? What did Jesus say? Ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened. I can't tell you how many times I've tried to have a quiet time without first seeking help from the Holy Spirit. And so that's what you want to start out with. Begin asking God. It may seem trite. It may seem kind of, I should know that. But it's imperative that we seek God's guidance in order to understand His Word. So let's walk through these three points. The first one is highlight. As I read through a chapter of the Bible, here's what I do. I highlight in my Bible verses that stand out. Because inevitably, there's going to be a verse or two that are going to stand out. I highlight them in my Bible. Just as I read through the chapter, I just, with a marker, highlight. If you do it more with electronically, which I often do on my iPad, I'll turn off the internet and just have it there, and I will highlight it on my iPad. That's all you're doing during highlight. You're just highlighting verses that stand out to you. Write them down in a journal if you're a journal-type person. Highlight them in your Bible if you're a highlight-type person. But whatever you do, you want to pick out things that kind of stand out to you. And then the second thing you do is you want to explain. You want to be able to explain it. You can follow along on the Bible app. I'm just going to walk through exactly what is written in there. But it's you just explain. You put it into context. You want to make sure that you understand the context of what is happening in that passage. And you can do so by asking just simple questions. Who was it written to? To whom was it originally written? What is it? How does it fit with the verses before and after it? So you're not taking anything out of context. Why did the Holy Spirit include this passage? What is it intended to communicate? All those things help us put it into context. You just think through or write out a short summary of what you think the verses are saying. This is where you can, if you have a study Bible, they'll often have notes at the bottom that'll help you put it into context. You can use commentaries, but the whole idea is that you want to explain the context of the passage. So you highlight a few verses, you explain the entire context, and then you apply. And what I mean by that, you go back to those few verses you've highlighted, because this application is the heart of the process. If you're not applying God's Word, you're not going to be hearing God's Word. and not going to be doing God's Word. Because it's not enough to master the text. God's desire is that the text masters us. It's not enough for you to master the text. God wants us to be mastered by the text. So how do we do that? Just ask simple questions. How can this help me? What does this mean for me today? How can I live this out? What would application of this verse look like in my life? What does this mean to me? What is God saying to me? So you see, explain is saying, what is God saying in the context of the passage? Apply is, what is God speaking to you personally? Just jot it down, write it down, take a note. See, those type of questions, application of God's Word bridges the gap between the ancient text and our lives. That's the purpose. They provide a way for God to speak to us. And so I encourage you to think through two or three things. You don't have to come up with a list. If God speaks to you, a list, great. But if He says, here's two or three things I want you to do, write them down and go do them. That's what apply means. And then finally, the third one is respond. Respond. That simply means that you're going to take the passage and you're going to respond. And that response can come in many forms. It could be as simple as writing a prayer out to God. It could be as simple as writing down a call to action. Here's what I'm going to go do today. I'm going to respond to the text. You describe how you'll be different because of what God has said to you. You indicate you're going to do something with what you've learned. You respond by writing out a prayer. All those are ways that you can respond to the text. For example, you may read a passage and it may seem like God is asking you to be more loving or to be more generous or to reach out to your neighbor. Whatever it is, you respond by saying, here's what I'm going to do today. And you go and do it. And keep in mind, you're responding to what you've just read. And that creates an atmosphere where God begins to speak to us. And I want you to notice that all those words are action words. Highlight, explain, apply, respond. God does not want us to sit back and just wait on Him to speak to us. He asks us to be active, not to wait passively, but to be active. Why? Because His Word is what? Living and active. Paul wrote to Timothy, who was a young pastor, and he said to this, he said, all Scripture. How much of Scripture? All Scripture is breathed out by God. And it is what? Profitable for teaching. Profitable for reproof, profitable for correction, profitable for training in righteousness. And it is designed so that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You see, as you and I begin to study God's Word, as we begin to hear from God, we're going to first and foremost realize that it is profitable. Warren Wiersbe said it this way, it is profitable for doctrine, what is right, for reproof, what is not right, for correction, how to get right, and for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. It is profitable for all of those things. And then secondly, he says that the Scriptures will equip us for service. How do you become a man or woman of God? By studying the Word of God. By hearing from the Word of God. You go throughout all of Scripture, whether it was Moses or David or Joshua or the apostles. As you look through all of Scripture, one thing that you will notice with all of those men that we look to as models, every single one of them were devoted to the Word of God. I want to close with this thought. I just want, just for a moment, as we think through and close our service, I want you to think about the miracle of God's Word. Just how over centuries of time, God supernaturally spoke to men in different countries, spoke different languages, in different time periods. Over centuries of time, God spoke to a number of men that resulted in them writing the exact words of God. The exact words of God. And God led His people to recognize these divine words and distinguish them from every other word that's ever been written. Just think about that. And God's people, over time, brought these 66 books together to form what we call the Holy Bible. And the preservation and the survival of this book will blow your mind. If you ever want to go and study how the Bible has survived over the centuries, and it is almost as fascinating as the fact that God wrote it, and that is His very words. But think about God preserved His Word. He wrote His Word. He preserved it. And then He gave men, listen to this, He gave men, beginning with the Gutenberg Press, continuing on to the Bible app, He gave men the knowledge to create the technology so that each and every single one of you can have a copy of God's Word in your hand right now. And why did He do all that? Why? Because He wants you and He wants me to hear from Him. Let's pray. Father, your Word is absolutely amazing. And your Word completely blows me away that you would desire to speak to us. And yet you do. And Father, I know today has been a different type of message, and it's been one that has been very hands-on, very practical. But Lord, I pray that you would take what we've discovered today and the process that we walked through today so that we can walk out of these doors and feed ourselves. Because that is the whole purpose. That is the whole goal of studying your Scriptures. As a matter of fact, you designed the church so that we could come here and be equipped. And so that we can go out and live it out. And Father, I pray that that has been accomplished today, that you have equipped us to study your Word, equipped us to hear from you. And Father, as we think through the miracle of the Bible, this book that every single one of us in this room probably have multiple copies of, and so often we take it for granted, but it is a miracle that you wrote to numerous men over centuries your exact words. You preserved your Word, and then you made it possible to distribute your Word so that every single one of us can have a copy. And the only purpose you did that, the reason you did that, is to speak to us. And Father, I pray that you would help us take what we've learned today, apply it to our lives, so that we can begin to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen.